Today on Real Radio.
Every parable given by God is to have multiple meanings, to unlock or to seal up. It is given to encourage and to challenge. It is given to help you and to others who are closed to condemn them. It illuminates those that want to see more light, and it brings darkness upon those who don't care to know.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series on parables. Now, we've been looking at a number of these parables, which are found in Matthew chapter 13, some of which are agricultural analogies. In fact, we've looked at the parable of the sower, the parable of the tares, and now we'll look at the parable of the mustard seed. Now, this is among the shorter of the parables given by the Messiah himself, recorded in two short verses, verses 31 and 32. But as we look deeper into this brief passage, we find very deep meaning regarding growth both individually and as the church. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called The Parable of the Mustard Seed.
And so as we look at these parables, they are designed by Jesus to accomplish several things. They are powerful. And you've been learning how they are a mode of teaching that God employs. Because look, he made the human mind and heart. And a parabolic way of teaching, or parables, is unlike any other. It is genius, it is brilliant, it is designed by God to reach us to the very core of who we are. And you've learned by now in our studies that when Jesus throws out a parable, remember that, and I told you to keep this in mind, parabolos, or parable, is to cast truth alongside the heart or the mind. Parable. Jesus throws out a parable, so he verbally is casting truth wrapped in a package that has amazing effect. It is a information bomb that lands alongside someone's head. In a sense, a bomb goes off and someone sees the truth that Jesus is trying to communicate with technicolor brilliance, okay? Boom, the light comes on. I got it. And we would say today it's being done by an illustrator. You know how that happens, where it's painted, the picture. We love pictures. We love paintings. And rightfully so, that a picture, you know, is worth a thousand words. Why? Because it so stimulates the mind. A parable is a construction of words using a common thing around you that everybody knows about. Keep that in mind. Everybody knows about it. And Jesus drops it in such a way that for those hearts who are open, it explodes with greater reality. To hearts that are closed against Jesus, or hearts that aren't open to have him in their lives, that very same bomb that goes off, instead of illuminating them, it winds up, as it were, having them be set in their opposition to God. A parable is an extremely powerful tool. And we're going to come to one of those things tonight that is awesome. Every parable, write this down in your notes if you care to. Every parable given by God is to have multiple meanings, to unlock or to seal up. It is given to encourage and to challenge. It is given to help you and to others who are closed to condemn them. It illuminates those that want to see more light, and it brings darkness upon those who don't care to know. It has a positive and it has a negative, all based upon where your heart is. That's why it's vital in this series that we pay very close attention to what he's saying. The parable of the mustard seed. Matthew 13, look at verse 31 and 32. Very short teaching, very powerful parable. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Verse 32, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Note takers, mark this down. This account is also recorded in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 30, and Luke, chapter 13, verse 18. Three places, here in Matthew as well, three places it's given. Why? Because God is making a statement that we better get this. This is a big deal. And these parables are repeated in other places in the Gospel. But this extremely powerful thing that he's delivering, this one, like all others, has a warning and it has an encouragement. I want you to keep that in your mind. A little bit of background would be good for us regarding this. This series of teachings of these parables Jesus gave in the north of Israel. How many of you have been to Israel? Raise your hand. That's a good crowd. We'll be there again soon. And why don't you guys put the first picture up on the screen? It's great for you to know this. Now, this is the Galilee region, and you can see the Golan Heights. That's across the Galilee over there. Jordan and Syria on the other side of those hills. But does that look a little familiar right now? Those of you who live in Chino Hills or you're Belinda. If you drive down the 15 freeway right now and you go by Lake Elsinore, this time of the year looks exactly the same. Truly it does. It's amazing. It's very beautiful. And these parabolic teachings Jesus gave at the Sea of Galilee. Most scholars believe it was probably near or at a place called Tabqa. Now, you may not have heard of the place Tabqa unless you've been to Israel, but it's the place where Jesus, do you remember after the resurrection, the disciples were in a boat and Peter saw Jesus cooking fish on the shore and he jumped out of the boat and swam to Jesus? That's the location of Tabqa. I think we have another slide here to look at. Look at the gorgeous, don't you? I love that. Now, again, those of you who have been with us, that kind of a steep cliff near the edge, and then there's green back there. Tiberias is back there. That's where your hotel is at. And it's just gorgeous. I have to tell you, on the right side, you see where those palm trees are at right there? There is an awesome Arab restaurant right there. It's really a great place. I've eaten there several times. Lisa and I have been. Usually when we tuck the team into bed or get them at their hotel right here, Lisa and I have to go to this spot once a year. And it is an awesome place, and everybody in there has got turbans or hijabs or burqas on. And then there's two Americans there with tennis shoes and t-shirts on. That would be Lisa and I. And they just have the most amazing food. Why is it amazing? Because everything on the table, everything on the plates is all from this region. This is an amazing part of the world, church. That water level that you're seeing right there is 700 feet below sea level. The Sea of Galilee is 700 feet below sea level. And the amazing thing about it is it's almost always warm there. And it's in a volcanic region. The Great Transjordan Rift is what causes the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea and that area of the Red Sea down by Eilat to be what it is. There's a massive earthquake fault and it has volcanic characteristics to it, so the soil is extremely fertile. That's why Israel today is the fruit and vegetable basket of Europe and much of the world in that region of the world, for Russia and other areas. There's no other place like it on earth except the Central California Valley. It's really remarkable. It's absolutely amazing. And when you go there, in fact, I wrote some things down. I kind of know these by heart, but I don't want to miss any. And I'm not even hitting on all of them. You'll get in your car, you'll be in the tour with us, and you'll drive around, and you will see the largest collection of bananas you've ever seen in your life. More than I've seen in Hawaii. Bananas in Israel. Papayas. Oranges. lemons, limes, pecans, avocados, almonds, figs, guava, just nonstop. Why? Because things grow there because of the climate and because of the soil. They just explode there. Why am I telling you all this? Because the next two photos do not give the parable justice. Look at these two next photos of what we here in California would call dill, right? You've seen this. In fact, very soon you're going to see this growing all over our hills, okay? Mustard seed. It's interesting. Listen to this. When the Bible here says that, and Jesus is saying there's no smaller seed than the mustard seed, those of you who know botany would stand up and say, wait a minute, Jesus is wrong. I think, isn't the orchid seed one of the smallest, if not the smallest seed? That's true. Oh, Jesus, there's a mistake in the Bible. Hold on. The mustard seed, God is so good, and Jesus being God, he made the mustard seed. He knows what he's talking about. The mustard seed is the smallest seed of all those in the herb family. He knows his stuff. He didn't use orchid. He used mustard seed. Why is that? Because the mustard seed in Israel is unlike any other mustard seed in the entire world. Don't compare mustard seed or mustard seed plant that we grow here to what they grow there. The Jewish Mishnah, historians, past and botanists today, make mention of the mustard seed shrub that grows in Israel in parts of the eastern side of the Mediterranean, that they grow somewhere between 9 and 12 feet high. Some have been as high as 16 feet high, whereby some historians have ridden, it says in their writings, horses, men on horseback have ridden underneath mustard seed shrubs. They're not trees, but shrubs. But they look like, or they take on, the appearance of a tree. That blows our minds. We don't understand that. But we need to keep that in mind. What Jesus is speaking about is so specifically accurate to the land and to the very parable that he's going to be teaching us about tonight, because it is so, so vitally important. He's going to be talking about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Remember that, it's interchangeable. What is the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God? It is the body of believers in the context of the New Testament, the church. The kingdom of heaven. In fact, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is what is within you. That is, faith stems or grows or begins within you. That's where the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven originates. And we want to keep that in mind. And so, as I mentioned, this amazing, incredible tree-looking shrub. I want you to just keep that in your mind now as we get into this. Jesus' teaching is in technicolor regarding tremendous truth. I want to give you two verses before we get into the study tonight. It's very important. In Luke chapter 8, verse 18, Jesus said, therefore, take heed how you hear. Lisa will say to me, are you listening? And I said, oh yeah, that's a terrifying question. Are you listening? Jesus says, take heed how you hear. So think of that. How are you hearing? And then, again, he says in Mark 4:24, then Jesus said to them, take heed what you hear. So be careful what you hear, and be careful how you hear it. Be careful what you allow into your heart and into your ears and into your mind. Boy, do we need this counsel today in our world? And be careful how you hear it. The how speaks about what we would say today, spin. What you're listening to, there's a spin to it. The world will say something to you and then try to get it into you. And they'll dress it up. They'll tantalize it. They'll say things like, in fact, if you notice, every year, just before Christmas, it's all starts in October, heavily in November and December, about how rotten your car is and how much you need to buy a new one. Have you noticed that? All these amazing commercials about you need to trade your car in, and you're all discontented now. You're all bummed about your car. What are they doing? They're taking something and they're spinning it to try to make it a treat to you, to take it. And when Jesus says, be careful what and how you hear, he's describing the effect of a parable laid alongside your heart. Be careful or pay attention what you hear and how you hear it. What you take in and how you process it. This is vitally important. So point number one, mark this down if you would. It is this, the mustard seed parable. First thing we learn right here, number one, is small beginnings. Obviously, Jesus is speaking about small beginnings, and how does that apply to us in our lives? When he says that another parable he put forth to them, Matthew 13:31, the kingdom of heaven is like, so here's a similitude, a type. This is what the church is going to be like for the next 2,000 years. It's going to be like a mustard seed. And if you just stopped at that comma, that's not very encouraging. He's talking to the disciples. And right then they would have went like this. They honestly, watch me. He would have been speaking to them and they would have went, what? That's it? Actually, they would have gone, that's it? Oy vey. That's not very encouraging. But he's not done. The kingdom of heaven, the work of God, imagine, the work of God in you is like a mustard seed. Oh, what a letdown that is. The smallest little thing? The smallest thing. Which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds or herbs, the seeds of herbs. Jesus here uses what is called this hyperbolic teaching, technicolor teaching, but it's taking something that's very common to them, and he's going to go somewhere with it and blow it up in front of them. But it's going to be a great application. By the way, we use that today, the same kind of teaching. Things like this. This book weighs a ton. You see kids walking, oh man, that book weighs a ton. Or the mosquitoes are a size of birds there. Well, they're not really. And it's not even considered a lie, what you just said. It is like a hyperbolic presentation. Oh man, the sun was scorching us. Well, it wasn't really. But you see what I'm saying? So now they're listening. It's like, oh my goodness, a mustard seed. He's got their attention, but for them right now, it is like, really? That's not that good of a deal so far, but you've got our attention. He's going to be stressing to them what the kingdom of God is like in its beginnings. Small, but he's not going to leave it there. It's amazing to think, when you think about it, that the very nature of the church has been that of growth. So Jesus, in his very putting forth of it, is saying, hey, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the church age is like this. It starts out like a mustard seed. Can't start any smaller than that. And he looked around. Can you imagine looking around? There's 12 guys standing there. Isn't it amazing? Tonight you're sitting here as a Christian because 12 guys were paying attention. Isn't that wild? How did you get saved? Where did you get saved? When did that happen? Listen, it's all because the Holy Spirit started a work in Jerusalem and in Israel 2,000 years ago. Isn't that wild? I mean, yeah, think about that for a while. Isn't Jesus' words coming true even as we sit here? Have you shared Christ with anybody? Have you ever prayed to have someone accept Jesus? Mustard seed growing. It's absolutely awesome. To the point now where you think about it, from very little beginnings of being insignificant and small and ineffective, the church has grown. Even today, where all around the world, in the most backward or dangerous or most developed or the dark jungles of South America, the gospel is going. It's absolutely awesome. No wonder why Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, on this rock I will build my church. I love that. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus said that. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. That's very encouraging. In Matthew 17:20, while we're picking on this mustard seed concept, though this verse doesn't exactly play into the parable for sure, but Matthew 17, 20, you all know this, you probably thought about it tonight. Jesus said, I say unto you, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, right? You can say to this or that, be moved or be cast into the sea. What is he saying? That within you, Christian, faith begins, and the smallest amount of faith, and I like this, listen everybody, the smallest amount of faith, when it starts, please hear me, when it starts, it refuses to stay at that level of flame. Faith refuses to stay a spark. It may start as a spark, but faith, as it begins to consume, like any good fire does, the fuel around it, it demands more. That's why those of you who have stepped out terrified, I understand that, knees shaking, or you know, your hands are shaking, your nerves are shaking, but you step out and you follow Jesus and you do that thing, or you go that way, or you whatever it is, but you take that step of faith and you're terrified on the outside, but you know I gotta do this. And the moment you do that and you see God come in and take care of the situation or bear you up, or God uses you in that moment, you made yourself open, God uses you, and there's an amazing thing. I'm sorry for this word I'm about to use because I can't think of any other, but as soon as you get that rush, you have to have that fix more. You're using drug terminology. I know I am. What the world is using drugs to try to achieve, the Christian can have for free, and it never fades. He just winds up saying, come on, you want more of that? You want more of that? Okay, then you know what? Then go pray for that guy right there. You want more of that? You want more of me? Okay, then get up and tell that person about me. It is absolutely awesome. It's terrifying. You get dry mouth, your nerves are shaking, and you step out. And I don't know about you, but the more dry mouth you have and the more you're shaking, the more you ought to expect God to be very big in that moment. Look, if you showed up and said, hey, I got it. Back off, everybody. Holy Spirit, you can take a seat. I got it. Here I go. And let me, boom, you're going down. Pride comes before a fall. I'd rather be shaken in my boots and have the power of God than have some fleshly thing behind and say, I can do this. Man, that's dangerous. Small beginnings. Don't despise small beginnings. The Bible says in Zechariah 4:10, do not despise these small beginnings. Maybe you're just venturing out in faith. You're a brand new Christian. I talked to a guy last Sunday. He's been a Christian for years, but he started coming to church, and he said, I've heard more Bible in 3 weeks than I've had in the 30 years of the church I just came from. That's scary, huh? And he's so excited. Why is he excited? Bible. His soul is out of its coma, and now it's eating. Think about that. And what's happening? He had a small beginning, but watch now. Watch what happens in this person's life. It's amazing. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians start out on a venture of faith, and I don't know, but if they might become disillusioned or they lose their motivation, I don't know, but I want you to think about this for a moment. When we look at this small beginnings, this little mustard seed beginning, Jesus is obviously speaking about the church, but the church is made up of people.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called The Parable of the Mustard Seed, a look at one of the agricultural analogies told by Jesus himself to his disciples. And we'll continue with more of The Parable of the Mustard Seed on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. And don't forget that if Real Radio is part of your day, let's say you're a regular listener, visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org and share your story. Pastor Jack loves to hear from listeners. He really does. In fact, email your comments to mail@reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's mail@reallifewithjackhibbs.org. We'd love to hear from you. Or if you'd like to send a handwritten letter or type it up and print it out, here's our mailing address, Real Life with Jack Hibbs, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.